going to turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. You know, you don't get everything out of a passage the first time you read it. You don't the, like, hundredth time either, but you do get more, right? The more you read it and the more we really study the Word of God. And this is a passage that I'm sure is familiar to all of us. There's probably many of you that could just stand up and quote this, this psalm, and we won't test that this morning. We won't make anybody volunteer for that. Well, we read it at the beginning of the service, and I want to read it again as we begin. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can be in your house this morning, gathered together, and especially that we have your word that we are able to study and learn from. And we ask for your blessing now upon this time, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to start this morning with a confession. I've heard it said that confession is bad for the reputation, but good for the soul. And that's the way it is. So there are times in my life where I say things that I don't really mean. And sometimes that happens when I'm upset, right? When I get angry or emotional. And just in that moment, I say things and I look back on that and go, I really regret that. I regret what I said and I did not really mean that. It was just in the heat of the moment. So there's those times. But then there's also times where I say things when I don't mean in when it's a moment of like responsibility, or I say it because I know I'm supposed to say it, right? I know that's the right thing to say in the moment. And yet the words are right and everything I say is fine. But sometimes it's like the heart is just not behind it. I say it because I'm supposed to. It's my duty, or it's that time for that. But sometimes, and I don't think I'm the only one in this room that's ever gone through that or knows what that's like. We're looking ahead, though, this week to Thanksgiving, right? We've got Thanksgiving coming up. And that's a time where sometimes we can fall into that, of just saying things and not really meaning them, not really having the heart behind it. And probably all of you have been at a Thanksgiving dinner. You're sitting down there. The food is hot. The food is ready. You're all around the table. And somebody goes, why don't we all go around the table and say things we're thankful for? Your first thought is, can we do it after? Like, can we just postpone this? But then you're like, oh, man, okay. And then they're like, hey, why don't you go first? And you're like, no. Like, I'll panic. Like, table and chairs, right? I guess I'm thankful for that. And the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. So nobody can look at you and go, you shouldn't be thankful for table and chairs. Because you're like, well, I guess, you know, I mean, would be, you know, eating off the floor and sitting on the floor and that, you know, so I sure, you know, table and chairs. But, you know, it's this opportunity that we have to be thankful and to say things we're thankful for. And sometimes we can say things that we don't really mean. And yes, it's the right thing. And we don't say anything that's bad or anything that's wrong, but it's just the words and our heart is not behind that. And maybe you're already looking ahead to this Thanksgiving going, I know it's going to be tough to be thankful. I know because of how my life is right now that it's going to be a harder year for me to be thankful. Maybe you're just stressed and stressed out of your mind about things that are going on. It could be physical difficulties that you're going through. I mean, it could be that you know somebody's not going to be there at this Thanksgiving. They were there last year, and you know they're not going to be there this year. And it could be a number of things that we're going through, but all of a sudden, it's like you're looking forward to Thanksgiving and all of that going, it's just not going to be easy this year for me to really be thankful for things. I know there's things I could say. I know I could say solid things, better than the table and chairs, right? But I could say things that I'm thankful for, but I already know looking ahead that it's going to be difficult for me to mean that, to really have my heart behind that. It also could be, though, that we get there on Thanksgiving and we just go, I completely forgot. I completely forgot that I'm supposed to be, you know, thankful in this time. I've been busy with other things, this and that. We got family coming in. I got stuff to get ready. And all of this, we go, I completely forgot about being thankful this week. But for whatever reason, we can end up finding ourselves saying things about thankfulness and projecting an attitude of thankfulness, but not really meaning it. And not really having that heart attitude of thankfulness that we need to have. And I want to talk about having a thankful heart that, and a thankfulness that we really mean. And this week, as I've been thinking about this, I've been calling it an organic thankfulness. Because, you know, you go to the store and you're picking out a turkey. I don't do this, but I've heard that, you know, you look at a turkey and it's got all these different labels on it, all these words that tell you what that turkey is. And there are things like frozen or fresh. There's self-basting turkeys. I mean, there's all these different labels, you know, free-range turkeys and all this. But one of those labels they'll put on there is an organic turkey. And, you know, you have to probably pay more for that. But it's the idea of organic turkey is one that they didn't give all these growth hormones to, right, or all these steroids, right? And they didn't feed it all these chemicals. That's what it's supposed to mean. I understand there's issues with that and all everything. But, I mean, that's what organic is supposed to mean. Right? It's all natural. It's not forced upon this turkey. It just is the way it is. And I was thinking about thankfulness and wanting to have an organic thankfulness where I don't feel like I'm having to force it, or I'm not feeling like I'm having to project a thankfulness that's not already from my heart. Just having an all natural organic thankfulness this year. And we can talk about non-organic, right? And in the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ looked at the people and said, with your lips you honor me, but your heart is far from me. And that would be a non-organic thankfulness. Lips, they all say the right thing, right? And they honor God, but the heart isn't there. And that's non-organic thankfulness. That's just something that we do, but don't really mean it. Something we say, but it's not from the heart. An organic thankfulness is a thankfulness that's in here, that's in our heart, and that's where it starts. And you know, it's not even that we come up with something new to be thankful for. We're like, I gotta find something no one else has ever been thankful for. Because it's not about, organic thankfulness isn't about what we say. It's not about the words that are coming out of our mouth. It's about what's in our heart. And yes, that is going to influence our attitude and the words that we say. But that's secondary. It's got to come from in our heart. It's not about what we say. It's about who we are, living with a thankful heart. So how are we going to get there, right? How are we going to grow in organic thankfulness this year? And I know that Psalm 100 has the answer for us this morning. What's interesting about Psalm 100 is the parallelism that's there. Hebrew poetry has a lot of parallelism, and that was their poetry. They would just put things parallel to each other and kind of in the idea of repeating the same thought but with different words. And we have that in Psalm 100. We have verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we have verses 4 and 5. And as you look at that, you can see the similarities. Verse 1 and 2 talk about joy and gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 4 is parallel to that, where we're coming into his gate, entering into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Right? It's both coming into the presence of God with thankfulness and joy and gladness and praise. Verses 3 and 5, which follow those portions, are different. Verse 3 is about who God is, right, and what he's done for us. And again, verse 5 is the same thing. The Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. So we have in this psalm, we have sections that say, be thankful, be joyful, be glad in the presence of God, be praising God in his presence. And then what follows that, what really undergirds that, is this knowing who God is, knowing what God has done for us. And that is the pillar that should undergird our thankfulness. It's understanding our relationship with God. Because real thankfulness doesn't happen thoughtlessly, right, without us even thinking about it. And it's not even effortless, right, in the sense that for us to get to that place of thankfulness, there's things that we should be doing, things that we should be reminding ourselves of. But Even when I say it's not effortless, I don't mean that it's not heartfelt or sincere, right? Because it is. But there's steps that we take to get to that place. And I want to look in verse 3, because there's a word we need to understand and see. Verse 3, that very first word, it says, know. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's a mindfulness, right? It's this awareness. It's a consideration of something. And you know, organic vegetables, when we talk about things that are organic, I think they're generally harder to grow. That's my impression of those things, right? It takes more work. I remember my grandmother in Vermont, her garden, it was organic, and we had to go out there and pick the bugs off it when we were there in the summer, and we enjoyed doing that for whatever reason. But I mean, there's things that go into it, right? If you want it to be good, work needs to go into that. And organic thankfulness is going to take work really behind the scenes, right? And that work is knowing. It's a focus and a concentration on a specific subject that we're going to talk about. It takes meditation, it takes devotion, because it takes time for thankfulness to really grow organically. I mean, it doesn't take us any time to think of something to say about thankfulness, but for us to really be thankful, it takes time and it takes preparation for that to really grow. And it takes us directing our heart and choosing to fill our heart, and as the psalm says, specifically with knowing God. But knowing God in a very personal way for us, and being able to connect who God is with what he has done in our life. Thankfulness comes when we fill our hearts with the blessing of our relationship with our Savior. And so here's the lesson I want us to get from Psalm 100. It's this: thankfulness grows out of thoughtfulness. Thankfulness grows out of thoughtfulness. If we really want an organic, heartfelt, natural thankfulness, it's going to grow in our hearts because we've been thoughtful. And we have specifically taken time to think about what God has done for us. That's how it grows. That's how it comes about in our hearts. And this morning, what I want to do is really jumpstart this process, right? There's not enough time this morning for us to really do everything that we would like to do. But we can at least start the process of growing a thankful heart by just being thoughtful about what God has done for us. And that's what's in verse 3 and 5, right? This knowing about who God is and knowing what God has done for us. So verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 5, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So here's what these verses tell us about God. Number one, they tell us about his character, right? This would be verse 5. And I know we know all of this and all these facts that the psalmist lists in verse 5. And I mean, it's easy to kind of go to sleep on these, going, okay, the Lord is good. Mercy endureth all generations, whatever, right? We know all of this. How many times have we heard that God is good over and over and over again? But we need to understand this. We need to know who God is. And we're not going to take a lot of time in verse 5. I really want to focus on verse 3, but we need verse 5. It says the Lord is good. It's just a general quality of goodness that covers everything that God is and everything that God does. It means excellent or pleasant, agreeable, beneficial. It also has the idea of being moral. That's the goodness of God. So not only is God good, though, but he is merciful. His mercy is everlasting. That's his kindness and his pity. It's also in the sense of like that he's condescending to us, right? That he is here, we are here. He is holy and we are sinful, and yet God, from that place, reaches down to us, right? It's that act, that kindness and that pity. That's the mercy of God. So it says he's good, he's merciful, but then it says his truth endureth to all generations. He's truthful. It means he is consistent in what he has said of himself, firmness and faithfulness to himself as he has revealed to us. So he's told us about who he is, and that's always who he is, right? He is true, and that truth endureth to all generations. So we're all familiar with who God is, right? But what we need to do is really connect who God is to our lives. So how does the nature of God then affect us? How does it impact us? Because thankfulness isn't going to grow in our hearts if we don't see what God has done for us, like if we don't make it personal in our lives, right? If when I go to the mechanic to pick my van up, you know, and fixing something or whatever, I go in there and I thank the mechanic for what he's done for my van. But imagine if I go there, and let's say he was, I don't know, replacing the alternator or something, right? So I go into that mechanic and he says, all right, I fixed your alternator. I'm going to do it free of charge. I'll just do it, you know, no cost because he's such a great guy or whatever, you know. And then he's like, and also I did an oil change and I replaced all four tires for you. And he mentions a couple other things. I'm out of illustrations, all right, for a car. So he goes, all right, I've done all this stuff for you. And I look at him and I go, I'm just so thankful for who you are as a mechanic. You know, I've read the reviews and what people say about you, and, you know, they're spot on about that. And, you know, you're just such a great guy. And, you know all your tools, and you're just good at who you are as being a mechanic, you know. And I never mention what he's done for me. I never mention that he did all of this for free, but I just praise him for who he is, you know, and his great qualities. Like, there's this elephant in the room, right, that is, he did all of this for me, and I haven't even mentioned it. I haven't even talked about it. He's like, does he think all mechanics do this, right? And, right, this focus on, like, who he is, but not really connecting it to then what he's done for me, you'd go, it's kind of thoughtless, right? You're not really thinking about and considering what he did for you and the value that's there and how that's impacted your life. And understand, if it's not wrong to thank God for who he is. I mean, there's plenty of verses in the Bible that are just focused on who God is. But if we just stop there, right, and we never mention what God has done for us, then I think our thankfulness is going to be pretty, like, pretty wooden and pretty stiff and unemotional. I think it'd be easy for us to just kind of compartmentalize that. But what we find in Scripture is that everything God is and God does is really shown how that impacts us, right, and how that affects us. And the Word of God is not all about us. It's about God. But we can't see who God is without seeing what God has done for us and how he's impacted us. And that's verse 3, right, when we get to verse 3 of Psalm 100. Because if we see the character of God, then we go right to the work of God, what God has done for us. And this takes it really from a factual level to a personal level for us. And so we draw this line from who God is to what he's done for us in our life. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So he says he has made us, right? The creation of God. And we could, if we wanted to, in verse 5, we could say this is maybe a connection between the goodness of God, if we want to just pick one and say that's the goodness of God that's in our shown to us in our life. But God has given us life and breath, and we think about all that we've experienced in this life, right? All the times that we've had, all the people that we've been able to know, and just all the opportunities that God has given to us. And we say, God's been good to us. That's the goodness of God that I've seen in my life with all that he's allowed me to do and all that he's allowed me to go through. And we didn't deserve life. There was nothing in us that deserved this life, and yet God was good to us. And, you know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said that God makes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, and he causes the rain to fall on the righteous and on the wicked, right? God is good to everybody. Every single person that God has given life to, that's the goodness of God to that individual. And God's been good to us. But, you know, we can't talk about creation without talking about our re-creation, right? That not only have we been made, but if you're saved, God has remade you into the image of his son. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if we wanted to, we could draw a line between the mercy of God and this, and the goodness of God, right? And the truth of God. We could draw a line from all of that. But we say, because of who God is, this is what he's done for me. I'm a new creature in Christ. Because I chose to trust in Jesus Christ for my salvation, I am new. I'm not who I used to be. And God is continuing to do that work in my life of transformation. And how merciful is that? How merciful has God been to us to turn us from unrighteousness to righteousness, from the enemy of God to the friend of God, to the child of God? We look at that and we go, God's been good to us. He's been merciful to us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of us have felt the peace of God that has just come with forgiveness? When we have knelt before God and confessed our sins to God, and we just felt the guilt be removed, and we felt that restoration of our relationship with God and that fellowship there again, just the peace that God has given to us, that He's blessed us with. How many of us have felt just that assurance and that comfort of the assurance, knowing that we are saved, we are kept in His hand, knowing that all the things that life throws at us, it cannot touch our salvation, that we are kept in the hand of God. And we, in the turmoil of life, we have that comfort and that place where we can go and say, I know this. If I don't know anything else, I know this, that God has saved me and God keeps me saved. You know, we've also felt the joy of knowing that we're right with God, knowing that we're not His enemy anymore. And he gives us that joy, even in service, even in doing things that we probably would not enjoy. Yet we know God, and He fills our heart with that joy. And we've known just the, I don't know real way to put it, but just the thrilling of our hearts when we think about heaven. And we think about what is going to take place, what we know God has for us. And we see the difficulty of this life, and we see the glory of heaven, and we go, I can't wait to be there. And God says, I've done all of this for you. I've shown you my goodness and my mercy and my truth to you in so many ways in this life. And what was that? That was four. And how many other ways could we just sit down and say, boy, God's been so good to us. God has just done so many things in our life. He made us. And then when we sinned, He said, okay, I'm going to remake you into the image of my Son. God's been good to us. And you can just imagine how different our life would be without Jesus Christ. How different. And maybe you know that, you know, if you didn't get saved, you'd be living a life of drugs and living on the street. And maybe you say, I know, based upon who I was, I know that's where my life would end up. And maybe some of you could say that, like, if without Christ, that's where I'd be. Some of you, maybe you could look at your life and go, without Christ, I might be in a mansion somewhere. You know, I'm making a lot more money and just, you know, have a lot more things. Or maybe you say, I'd probably, you know, be about in the same size house, make it about the same, you know, type of car, whatever. But that's not the point of us saying, what would our life be without Jesus? It's not the things that we have here. It's everything else. It's all the spiritual blessings that God has given to us that the world doesn't know. And yet we know, because of Jesus Christ, the spiritual blessings that have been given to us in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. Wherever else we might have been, we are here because of Jesus Christ. We are who we are because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we look at who God is. We see His goodness, we see His mercy, and we see His truth. And then we draw that line and we say, I am who I am because of that, because of all that He's done for me. And I see over and over every single day just the goodness of God in my life and everything that God has done. He has been so good to us. He's so merciful and He's so true to us. That's the goodness of God. But if we go also to verse 3 again, not only does it say He hath made us and not we ourselves, but then it also says we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. All right, so not only is He just good to us in making us and then remaking us, it's that He takes care of us every single day. The mercy and the goodness of God in our life. We are His people, right? So He claimed us. His people, we are the sheep of His pasture. He has claimed us, right? Through Jesus Christ, we are His people. He's the shepherd over us as His sheep. And we know that the quality of the ownership, right, that really depends upon the owner, right? If you ever bought a used car, one of the things you want to know is, how did the previous owner take care of it, right? Were they on time with their oil changes, right, and all of those things? where were they, right? Were they up here where we put salt on the roads, or were they down south where they don't as much, right? All of this, you go, how did they take care of that, right? We want to know that. Do you know, in John chapter 10, Jesus was talking about him as our shepherd. But in that, he also talks about another type of person, and he calls those hirelings. And he says they don't care anything about the sheep, right? They're kind of in it for themselves and want to take care of themselves. But they're there, and they're, you know, helping out with the sheep. But he says as soon as the danger comes, they flee away. And then he says this. He says, I am the good shepherd. But then he doesn't stop there. You know how we know he's the good shepherd? What's that next line? Because he giveth his life for the sheep. That's the quality of ownership that we have in our shepherd. That he cares about us enough that he went to that cross and died for us. He died on that cross and he shed his blood because he is the good shepherd. Because he cares for us. And I want to go back. We're in Psalm 100. Go back to Psalm 23. Probably the most well-known psalm in the book. Psalm 23. And I just want us to read this again. Because I want you to connect who the Lord is with what he is to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that last verse sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? The mercy and the goodness of God. It says it shall follow me all the days of my life. And I like that part because, you know, this is a day of my life. This is a day of your life. Tomorrow is going to be a day of your life. And so is Tuesday and all the rest of them. And you know what the Lord had said? Because I'm your shepherd, goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. Not because of who you are. Not because you are good or you are merciful. It's because God is. Because your shepherd is. Because Jesus is good and he is merciful. And if he is your shepherd, goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. And you know, you can look at some days and go, I don't know that I saw the goodness of God. I don't know that I saw the mercy of God in my life. But you know what? We're pretty oblivious sometimes, aren't we? I know I am. That's where I'm speaking from. I can be pretty oblivious to what God has done, excuse me, to what God has done and the goodness of God in my life. But I can look back on every single day and say, maybe I didn't see it. Maybe I was just blind to it. But I know that God has said he's good and that God is merciful and that he's not just that, he is that to me in my life. And so we see who God is in Psalm 100. But not just that, we also see what he is to us. And sometimes we're pretty oblivious to all of that in our life. And how can we really be thankful if we're not thoughtful about it? If we don't really understand it, if we're not really looking for it, if we're not really trying to see it and really trying to understand that in our life? Because we have so much to be thankful for. Not just with our words, but really from our heart. And just if we would take time to know it, just take time to think about it and really see that. Because organic thankfulness grows out of thoughtfulness. It grows out of thoughtfulness. A lot of time goes into preparing a Thanksgiving meal. I know some of you are in the process of that, right? It just takes time with all of that. And I looked up some facts that I did not know. But they say that thawing a turkey takes 24 hours for every 3 or 4 pounds. 24 hours. Some of you need to go home and pull your turkey out of your freezer. So there's your reminder. I've helped you out a very practical way. 24 hours for every 3 to 4 pounds. When you cook it, they say 13 minutes per pound at 350 degrees. So there's all your math there. You can go do that. I think it's different. It's different at different degrees, but I can't help you if you're not cooking it at 350 degrees. So 13 minutes a pound. So we look at that and go, wow, that's a lot of time that's involved in this. So you got to kind of start early. You can't just wake up Thursday morning and go, okay, let's pull this turkey out and get cooking. You got to start a little before that. But I mean, that's just the turkey. There's usually so many other things, right? Casseroles and stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the rolls and the sweet potatoes. I'm trying to make you hungry, you know, right before, well, it's only 10:30, you got a little ways before lunch, but all of this, right? And we know that a lot of time and preparation goes into that, and there's so much that's involved in all of that. And you can't expect to wake up Thanksgiving morning and go, all right, let's see what we can do to make this great today, right? Because at that point, you're like, all right, is McDonald's open? We'll just go and get, you know, maybe something that serves chicken, right? Go to Chick-fil-A or somewhere. I don't know. At least get a bird on Thanksgiving. But I mean, if that's your thought, right? If you're like, I'm just going to wait till that day, then it's not going to be as good of a dinner. You just can't expect that. Because if you want it to be good, there's a lot of time and preparation that needs to go into that. And understand, if we want to have a real organic thankfulness, that it's not just the things that we can say, where we can say the right things, but if we really want to be thankful, and just for the sake of picking a day on Thanksgiving Day, then it's going to take time and it's going to take preparation, right? It's going to take us being thoughtful about this and not just waiting, you know, until somebody asks you, hey, what are you thankful for? And coming up with the first thing that you see. But it's us going, okay, I want to think about how I can be thankful. I want to think about who God is in all of this. And, you know, we're all in the midst of preparing to eat a Thanksgiving meal. But how are we preparing to really be thankful? How much time are we going to put in to having an organic thankfulness, where our heart is really overflowing with thanks to the Lord? And, you know, the way everybody does this is going to be different. But there's always going to be one common element, and that is knowing God, right? And knowing what God has done for us. And it could be that your plan this week is, I'm going to find a verse or a passage, right? Psalm 100 verse 3 or some other passage. And that's going to be my thankful passage for this week. Or I'm going to put it somewhere and read it and go over it and over it and over it and think about that. Maybe you're like a music person, right? And that's kind of your thing. You go, I'll just find a song that talks about who God is, what God has done for me, a scriptural song. And I'm going to put that on repeat. I'm just going to sing this song over and over. I'm going to bother everybody around me because I'm just singing this song. Or maybe you're like, you sing it inside. That's fine too, you know? You're like, I'm just going to do this to get my mind on what God has done for me. Maybe there's like list people. You're a list person. You're like, I'm just going to take some time, set aside time this week to make a list of all that God has done for me. And I'm going to use that to get my mind focused on who God is. Or there's our verbal processors out there. You're like, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to set aside specific times to just pray and tell the Lord all the things that he has done for me and just spend time thanking him for that. And I'm going to do that throughout the week, whatever, right? There's a million and one ways we can do this, right? But it's just intentional. It's just us saying, I know that if I want to really be thankful, I've got to be thoughtful about this. And I've got to not just wait so I can just say something, but so that I'm really thankful from my heart. Because thankfulness grows out of thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness specifically about what God has done for us. And you know, we're coming up on our Thanksgiving Eve service this Wednesday. And Wednesday night at 7, we're going to have an opportunity to thank God, right? And as a church, to say things. And I'm not preaching this message to get more people to say things on Wednesday night. Right? That's not my point. It's not that I'm going to be out there going, all right, who didn't say something? And because Wednesday night, no pressure and no judgment on people who, because silence doesn't mean you're unthankful. Just because you don't say something doesn't mean you're unthankful. And just because you stand up and say something doesn't mean you're really thankful from the heart. But it's just an opportunity that we have to be thankful to God and to do it in a way that's not forced and not rushed and not just lip service, where we feel like we have to, so we say something, or we feel like it's our responsibility or it's our duty, and we haven't really thought about it at all, so we just say the things, you know, that we always say, family, friends, Jesus, you know, our salvation, and all fine things, but it's not really from our heart. And I know that's not how we want this time to be, and not really how we want our life to be, right? Where it's just us saying the right things and not really being thankful. But thankfulness, if we're going to be really thankful, organically thankful. It's going to grow out of our thoughtfulness. And when we are really intentional and thoughtful, when we take time this week, we set aside time, special time to just get our minds on what Jesus Christ has done for us. The thankfulness, it's going to be all natural, right? It's just going to be from our hearts. Whether we say anything or not, it's going to be right in our hearts. And that's what God wants. And so this week, I hope it's not just about all the other things. It's not just about the food, though it is some about the food, I'll be honest. But it's not all about the food, right? It's about what God has done for us. And I hope you take time this week to really be thoughtful about what God has done for you and let God grow thankfulness in your hearts. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done for us. And Lord, it's so easy many times for us to just forget and really be oblivious to all that you've done and get so focused on other things. Lord, life is busy and life is distracting, but may we see you in all things. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be thankful, not just in this time, not just this week, but the rest of our lives, not just with our words, but truly in our hearts. Lord, help us to set aside time this week to really think about you and to get our minds and our hearts focused on all that you've done for us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be truly thankful to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.